Hello, everybody. This is Andrea, and I'd like to welcome you to our latest webinar and podcast episode. Just a quick thank you to our webinar partner, QuickFee, before we get started. I'll provide a bit more information at the end of this session about a special offer we have from QuickFee. A reminder on asking questions today. If you're joining us live, you have the opportunity to ask a question at any time. Just use the Q&A function on your Zoom control panel, and we'll answer it there at the end of the session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, feel free to contact us directly at smithinc.com. Now I'm going to hand over to Mark Holton, SmithInc Director, who will be presenting how to see the financial impact of key financial decisions before you make them. Over to you, Mark.
Well, thanks, Andrew, and good day, everybody, and welcome to our webinar for the month of, what month were you in? August, there it is. And to a session that I put together today just to try to stimulate our thoughts around how we can take something like showing the financial impact of a key business slash financial decision before the client makes it. I need to go back a little bit. When I first got involved in advisory, and that was the best part of well over 20 years ago, I was invited to a seminar in Sydney, and many of you might have heard this story, but I'll say it very quickly. The way it was promoted to me was using this catch cry, and that was, how would you like to see the financial impact of key financial decisions before you make them? And I thought, well, one, I'd like to see that, because number of times I've made decisions and thought later, should I or shouldn't I, will I or won't I, or should I or shouldn't I have actually done it after I've made it? But I also thought that perhaps clients might get a benefit out of this. So I went to the seminar. I've got to be honest, I was going to the football in Sydney to watch the greatest football side in living history, South Sydney, play. And that was on the way, this session, the Crow's Nest. It was run by Attaché Software. And I listened to a guy present using a piece of software that was then called Optimist, that later many would know as MYOB Profit Optimizer. But it wasn't the software that got me there. It was this. It was the thought that perhaps I could, you know, create a service around this particular catch cry. And over the period of time, over the last 20 years, I've had an awful lot of success with this. In fact, this is the mantra that was in my firm, that was the backbone of our advisory services from day one. Because I figured if it got me to go to a seminar in Sydney and got me to buy some software and got me to start to go away and use it, then it's a pretty powerful mantra to go out there and market with as well. Over the years, I've had some success in this space, but this is the ultimate advisory service, to say to a client, let me show you the impact of a key decision before it's made, because every client has different decisions. Every client has different nuances. So this is the one that you really have to seriously just get out there and back yourself with. So, as we move through today, I just want to give you a few ideas of how we actually did it. You know, I think being in business is a constant battle of decision-making for the clients of our, for our clients in accounting firms and us. Decisions like should I, shouldn't I, or do I commit or do I not, are often a pretty regular occurrence in running a small business or any size business in Australia. This session, we'll talk about the type of decisions you can show clients so they can see the impact of that before they make them, and then largely go away and make them with the knowledge that the decision is the best one for them. Not make it, then come to us and start to talk about the consequence of the decision that's already made. It's very hard to create a service offering around that, and it creates what I call band-aid services, where you're just trying to put a band-aid on a bad decision. The client needs to know in advance, what will this do to my business? And is it right or is it wrong? And this allows us to position our advisory services in a very, very powerful and very, very creative manner. So I think there's a dilemma in our industry, and that is, how do I make more money? How do I work less hours? And more importantly, how do I have more fun doing it? I mean, I can make more money. I just got to get more clients and work harder on it, and do more heavy lifting. How do I work less hours? Well, I fail to see how you're going to do that if you're going to take on more clients in order to make more money, unless we start to offer those clients something a little bit different to generate more funds internally. And I've yet to see how compliance is fun. I know a lot of people love it, and that's perfectly fine in my opinion. I used to as well. But the advisory space is something that I decided to live in some 20 years ago, and I don't have one regret for it. But do I have fun doing it? Absolutely. I think the wonderful part about advisory is that no job's the same. No client's the same. No engagement's the same. It keeps you interactive. It keeps you on your toes. Is it threatening? Yeah, probably, compared to doing compliance activity for five or six clients. But you've got to be able to go out there and say, look, I'm a storyteller. I can show my clients how to improve their business. I can show them the financial impact of key decisions before they're made. So when we look at the current environment in our industry, this is what I think is happening out there, and I see it over and over again because I speak to many, many firms. We do advisory services often when asked by a third party like a bank. So it's not proactive. It's got to be reactive if we're waiting for other people to do it. We don't track it separately on our P&L, and because of that, there's no budget, there's no KPIs, there's no accountability. We don't promote it proactively to clients. It's often linked with compliance services, and we tend to look at it as a retrospective exercise. In other words, taking historical data, putting it into some of the brilliant dashboard tools that are available at the moment, and having conversations with clients around what they can't do today, what they could have done before. Whilst that's a really important learning, it doesn't exactly give them any sort of future focus. The thing, the second last one worries me terribly, and that is we tend to give it away for very little or nothing. And because of that, the client doesn't see value. As they think it's part of compliance, they tend to think they're already paid for it. I was always, from day one, determined never to give anything away for nothing. I was also determined not to link it with compliance unless the client specifically said they wanted it or I knew that would be more beneficial to them. I'd always wanted to position it separately in my client's mind and be able to bill it accordingly. I never intended day one to bill this on time. I always intended to track the time to be able to determine the profitability of the engagement, but I was always looking for the value proposition, and I found out pretty early that's pretty hard to work out. But the more often you do it, the more often you sit in front of clients, the more often you talk price and they don't shudder, then I think that's the best way you'll ever get to work out value pricing. So why is this happening? Well, I think obviously we're darn busy. Compliance is profitable. I would not believe for a moment any of the naysayers out there saying compliance is dead. I think it's garbage. I think it will change in the future. I think it will become more automated. I'm seeing in the UK at the moment what they're looking to try to do, but that's taking forever to make it happen. But at the end of the day, compliance is our bread and butter. It's our core business. It's profitable. It works well. The client needs it, can't do it themselves. Pretty solid model. But what I'm looking to do is not replace compliance. I'm looking to do this as well as. I'm looking to put a structure in place with the right strategic direction, with the right people doing the right jobs, with efficiencies, KPIs, budgets in the compliance model that are replicated in the advisory, where key person dependency does not exist, because I'm going to try to build a scalable model in my firm. And I'm going to measure it and hold people accountable and improve it where that's necessary. And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure my team know precisely what the business advice product is and my clients understand it simply when I talk to them about all the different services we can offer to help them run better businesses. So when you look at advisory compliance, two totally separate models, two totally different sales processes, and sometimes two totally different staff members that you need to have on your team. We've got to start to get that plan right, guys. We've got to, and by the way, if you don't have a business advisory implementation plan that one, you've created, agreed to, and you're monitoring and holding yourself accountable, very hard to get this stuff off the ground. So what scenario planning services do you think clients will want from us in the future? Scenario planning is the Mark Holton term for how would you like to see the financial services, blah, 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 the title of this webinar. Okay, give me a scenario. I'll work out what it's going to do to your business tomorrow, not today, and then we'll have a discussion around should you or shouldn't you do it. So everyone you're about to see on screen, I've done with clients over the years and documented those into case studies. And I did that to train my team because I couldn't remember half the stuff I did anyway. I took a team member in there to shadow me and jot down everything that happened, which made it really easy to document that later and use it as a training tool. But my first question to you with your advisory services is, are you intending or are you actually offering strategic or transactional advisory services? Neither is better than the other. All both parts are extremely valuable. But at the end of the day, my preference is lead with strategic. Talk to the client about where are they today, where they want to be tomorrow, how we're going to get there, who's going to do it, when's it going to be done, what date, when do we celebrate success? And use transactional advisory like the dashboards, the software, the brilliant stuff out there to be able to substantiate the strategic plan. And I think if we start to do this, then we're going to get more annuity type advisory services happening and less one-off. Classic example. I was doing a seminar or speaking at a conference actually, and we were talking about one-off and annuity advisory services. And I asked the conference, I said, throughout COVID, did you do much advisory services? And there was 130 people there. And all of them said, yeah, we did. We did a stack of it. What was this? I asked, what was the single thing you did more of than anything else? And it wasn't hard to work that out because we did a poll. It was budgets and cash flows. So how many budgets and cash flows did you do over that period? There was a stack. I then asked, how many of those budgets and cash flows did you then turn into a quarterly board of advice model where you as the external chairperson hold the client accountable to that budget and make sure they deliver month by month their sales targets, their cost targets, and their profitability targets? And one hand was still up at the end of that. So what we're doing is a lot of one-off piecemeal stuff, but we're not looking, how do I turn that into an annuity service? You've got to get that model in place first before you start to think about scenario planning, because scenario planning, believe me, is more one-off type advisory services, but they can still be integrated and linked with your annuity provide, your annuity service provision. We've got to start to think about that in our plans. So what's some of the ones that I've done? Well, I've done work with clients on comparison and price and volume sensitivity. So if I put my prices up and my volume drops because clients will leave me because of that price, or my volume drops because I won't be competitive, not that too many clients I've worked with knew what their competitors were charging anyway, then what will that do to my business? What's the balancing factor? What lever do I need to pull and how hard do I need to pull it to get my price and volume right? Then we could do stuff like margin and profit analysis of key lines, not just looking at, say, 10% net profit end of day, but where's it happening? Drilling down to more detailed, more granular data, and then positioning, should I or shouldn't I push that line up in price? Because that line can't, I won't be competitive. So drilling down to the psyche of how these guys run their business. Working capital, single biggest problem. Not enough cash flow coming in at the right time to pay bills when they're due. We've got to frame a service around that. So should I or shouldn't I, you know, work on strategies to reduce my receivables by X days. Turn my WIP and my inventory over in a certain number of days. How many days should I be paying my suppliers to be able to balance out my cash flow? And doing stuff like return on investment. What return is my business currently generating? What return do I want my business to generate in 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, 36 months? And what do I do to make that happen? One that I've done many times, premise acquisition. Should I rent or buy? In fact, I had one guy come into my office one day. His name was an Italian fellow. His name was Enzo. And he knocked on the front counter and said, it's Mark there. And I walked out and said, g'day, Enzo. And he said to me, Mark, I just bought a factory. Is that a good idea? And I must admit, I was looking for cameras up there to record this. I said, it's got to be a stitch up. He said, no, no. Then he went into the you-knows. I rent a place, yeah, and you know the quality's terrible. Landlord doesn't care, yeah. And you know he puts the rent up all the time. So I saw a premise, I saw a factory, and I went out and I bought it. Can we have a chat about that? I'm thinking, well, geez, I wish you told me earlier. But we took him in there. We were using that profit optimizer tool at the time. We rolled his business forward, put in the acquisition of the premise and the funding, short-term and long-term debt split, put in a indicative interest rate, and then had a look at his business 12 months down the track, and it was in trouble. So we then went to plan B. Plan B was you bought the factory, you can't unbuy it. It's not like buying a bad shirt and taking it back. So then how do we manage? We have to split the factory. He used half, rent the other half to generate enough income. He ended up with less floor space than what he had. So it was a good result off a poor decision. I said to him, Enns, why didn't you talk to me first about this? And he said, I didn't know you offered that service, Mark. So there was a kick in the ego. But I tell you what, from that point onwards, I spoke to every client up front about should they or shouldn't they do stuff, and let me show you what it will do to you. Employing a new team member, what KPI should be set? That's a simple one you can do. A couple of others, business value enhancement. You know, should I or shouldn't I do X to make my business worth more tomorrow, and by how much and when? Borrowing money, am I looking to borrow money? If so, when, how much, what for? And is that a good idea? Particularly correlated back to clients buying assets, or what they think are assets, that are at ridiculous rates, ridiculous costs, and they're not going to get a recovery, a la motor vehicles, a la boats. They're tax deductible, aren't they? Clip, 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 clip. Seeking government grants, should I or shouldn't I? Capital equipment acquisition, launching new products and services, changing business location. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that I believe I could show you how to do this with any debit and any credit any client's looking to make in their business. And I don't care what software it is, whether it's commercial, analytical, strategic software, whether it's Excel. I'll be honest with you, I've even done this on a whiteboard doing T accounts. Okay? The whole point is I'm creating a service that's beneficial to the client, and I'm trying to educate them to make smarter, better decisions with me as a partner. This is where I made an awful lot of money and created an awful lot of opportunities. But I have to engage my client initially in the whole advisory process to get here. Because the other way you can treat this is a client tells you because you've promoted it to them, and then you start to offer this service and then link it into your other advisory annuity services. Either way, the benefit is unchallenged. So, business value indications, the first thing I do is I look to work out what the client's business roughly is worth today. It's not a commercial vow. It's not going to go before a court. It's not for a partnership dispute or a family law issue. It's just a wealth discussion with the client. I then talk to them about what they want it to be in the future and work out where the gap is. And believe me, there's always a gap between what they think it's worth and what it really is. We then work with the client for our advisory services to identify areas to improve their profit, their cash flow, and de-risk the business, and revalue that with the client every so often, every 12 months at least. Quantify what the gap is, quantify how far you've bridged that gap, and bill accordingly. I'll even take it further with things like pre-lending assessments. I've always been involved in this, and that is working with clients around lending, looking at their current banking covenants, whatever they might be, and I'm happy to talk to anyone about this later. I trained many banks in Profit Optimizer over the years, so I know what they look for. Determine where the gap is. For instance, interest cover might be, 1.2. The banks are looking for 2+. How do I get the client there? Well, the only way to get interest cover there is improve profitability or amortize debt. There's a few other ways, but quite simply, that's it. So then I'm going to work with a client to improve their performance, to get their lending covenants in better shape, so when they go to the bank, they're a fighting chance of getting that loan. And you've partnered with them through that process. Too few firms are doing this. Is there software out there to do this? Yeah, there's some that skirt the edges. But you don't need software to have a discussion with a client. So from there, we can start to develop many other types of services like estate planning, succession planning, business and strategy planning with clients and all that sort of stuff. The opportunities are endless. And we can also start to work with them on a few things like financial health checks. you know, business value indications, as we said, board of advice meetings, the key annuity sweet spot, help them with their receivables, payables, manage their cash flow. The opportunities are endless. And with KPIs, I'm a big believer, and I've done this for years with clients, I have the top 10 KPIs. I've got to be honest with you, six or seven of them are flat blank the same every single time with every single client. The last three are the ones that are specific industry measures for their business. So creating this, I've created this in Excel. It looks pretty, single page stuff. Is it good? Stop lights, et cetera, et cetera. Not hard to do, but the clients respond to it. They really do. So how do we analyze our clients' business decisions? I think pretty simply. The first thing we need to do is concentrate on what's above the waterline, but never forget what's below it. It's the old cliche of a duck looks beautiful on a pristine lake, but underneath that waterline, they're paddling forever and ever. I think a lot of our clients are like this. What we see above the waterline, okay, and what's really happening below it, where do they need support? Below it, without doubt. So the way I've always done this with clients is focus on their key financial chapters and their key financial drivers to drive a financial story to the client and improve the performance of their business. From there, we work with them using what I call a financial crystal ball to ensure strong decisions are made based on fact, not on speculation, or as factual as you can possibly make it, that's for sure. So how do we do this? Well, I have a tool of preference, but that's only one of the tools out there in the marketplace. I've done this with clients using Excel. As I said earlier, I've done this with clients using a whiteboard before some of the more sophisticated software was out there. My tool of preference is a tool called Cashflow Story, because I think it simply and easily shows a client what their performance measures are. A should I or shouldn't I here is how do I take the reds and turn them green? Which is the key red that could have a strong impact on my business performance? And if I was to turn that one more towards the green, could it impact others? Have discussions with clients around numbers creating knowledge, visuals telling stories. And as you can see with this particular guy, the drop in profitability performance has been happening for a while. If we don't get to this person, realistically, those numbers will go down again. So should I or should I do what to improve my gross margin, my operating profit or EBIT, and my net profit? This stuff doesn't have to be high-end, big-end-of-town stuff. It could be really quite simple. How do I see the financial impact of better profit performance? And then look to, you know, dynamic visual representations for the client. Explain this to them. Talk about how last year, you know, your inventory went out the door at day 101. This year it's gone out at 118. Last year, the customer paid you on day 217. Now they're paying you on 245. You know, roughly, you're waiting another month to get paid, and that's taken $285,000 out of your bank account. You know, so the should I or shouldn't I is how do I reverse this trend? And this is working capital management. This is cash flow management. And I do it all visually with clients. Put it up there, talk to them. What can we do? What are you comfortable with? What support do you need? Which is where your other advisory services complement the scenario planning side of things. And use simple explanations. Not these. This is the number of days from when you pay the supplier to the customer pays you. It is too long. We've got to do something about reversing it. Let's take one thing and work on it. One lever and pull it. How hard can we pull it? And that's where I use the power of one feature. Okay. Which again, you could do manually if you wish to. So I'm just about out of time, Andrea. I think I am anyway. So I think you should take the industry challenge, guys. I think we should all be out there showing clients the financial impact of key business decisions before they are made. Because one thing it will do is create a stronger relationship with the client. And secondly, you will turn them into walking, talking billboards where they'll go out there and talk to other like-minded clients about how wonderful the service is and how wonderful your firm is, because that's what happened to us. And more important than anything, let's have a bit of fun while we do it. We're all been locked down forever. I'm sitting here in the middle of Terrigal, looking out over a car park, thinking, geez, I'd love to get back on the road and see some of you guys. But unfortunately, that's not possible at the moment. So now is no better time to plan to launch something like this when we all get a chance to get back to doing what we really want to. And with that in mind, Andrea, I'm going to pass back to you just to close off, and I'm happy to take any questions at all on what we've discussed.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please just type that into your Q&A function on the control panel there. And while we're just waiting for a moment, I'll just let you know a little bit more information about our webinar partner, QuickFee. QuickFee Installments is the first ever non-recourse advice now pay later solution for professional accounting firms. QuickFee Installments uses sophisticated technology to let your clients pay their invoices within 4 interest-free monthly installments while you get paid in full upfront. It uses your client's existing credit and doesn't affect your client's credit file, making it the most responsible buy now, pay later payment solution for your clients. There's no credit risk to you, no monthly fees, and no long-term contracts. Also, Smith Inc. has negotiated an exclusive 30-day free trial for you. Go onto the website, quickfee.com.au/Smith Inc, also on the screen there, and sign up using Smith Inc. as the promo code to get the 30-day free offer. Thanks to the team at QuickFee. Let me see here if we've got a question. Just got a comment from Amanda saying, can't wait for you to get on the road and visit us in Port Stephens too, Mark.
Oh, Amanda, geez, I can't wait either. Just up the road a little bit, Andrea.
I know, it's not that far away. That's the crazy thing, isn't it?
It's nearly as good as Terrigal.
Nearly. Yes, I think we're all looking forward to being able to have some freedom again, that's for sure. It doesn't look like we've got any questions coming through, but if anybody does think of anything at any point, of course, just email myself or Mark. Mark's email's right there on the screen. You'll have my details, and I will be sending out the recording a bit later this afternoon. Thank you for joining us today, and thanks, Mark.
Before we finish, Andrea, happy to have a chat to anyone, guys, if you want to talk about how we do some of this type of work. And if you want to do some training with your team around, you know, how to do some of the case studies, I think they're wonderful ways of training your team and getting them to think a little bit more openly about opportunities with clients and how we can run smarter, better operations and advisory within our firms. Always happy to have a chat. Just reach out and we'll organise some time.
Sounds good. Thank you, Mark. And thanks, everybody, for joining us today.